I think, Arthur, to be honest, there's a huge unity of voices out there from Orthodox sources trying to say that LDL is inherently toxic.
No.
This is really a challenge.
In those studies, going back to, again, Bill Castelli in Framingham,
He knew
the
it.
distribution of cholesterol, of LDL, in people from Framingham who had heart attacks versus not, it was essentially the same. They overlapped.
Welcome to the Fat Emperor podcast. I'm your host, Ivor Cummins. We're supported by the Irish Heart Disease Awareness Charity, which advocates a simple CT scan to reveal your CAC score. So know your score and take action to prevent that premature heart attack. Everything you need to know will be right here.
High LP little A, which is here. So this is one of the primary genetic problems. And here is a patient at 52. He came, he was like a friend of a friend of a friend because his brother was skiing in Colorado. He was 1 or 2 years older than him and he died suddenly. He was thin, healthy, but he did know of a high LP little A, not treated. So he came to me, we did his calcium score. 5,284 is awfully high. And again, this had been there for a while, but there were some small, relatively young lesions. He was never treated for anything. And his Kraft test was a little bit abnormal as well. Although his numbers, were not that bad. The LP little A was 184.
And I know the units vary. That could be milligram or could be nanomole, but.
This is normal, would be up at most up to 175. This is a very high number.
I think I'm 180 or something, which is in the top percent or two.
Yes.
So it's,
no,
this
this is
is very
like
high.
99th percentile.
Yeah, exactly.
And positive family history, a very high calcium score for his age. He has, some visceral fat. This is a little bit abnormal. He's actually been doing well on low carb. With LP little A, we have families, patients with high LP little A's, sometimes not this high. This high is more likely to have a high calcium score. But many patients with high LP little A's with no plaque and no family history. So he has a family history and plaque. We have one family from us, from South America, from Buenos Aires, where everybody's had heart attacks in their 30s and 40s. And I'm seeing a fellow in his 40s, and that's where we also had a consultation with Sam at UC San Diego.
And this guy as well, just for anyone watching, so his LDL is really low, really. I mean, 60s down to 30s.
We started to treat him. This was his baseline, 85.
That's a very low LDL for a baseline, then 66, and then the 30s.
And his HDL was good.
Yeah.
And so,
All his lipids and his total cholesterol to HDL ratio is excellent, around 2, even without statin.
Right.
So everything's good with this guy, except Kraft test is a fail with some visceral fat, but not too huge. And he's the high LP little A. I often wonder, Arthur, the high LP little A is genetically determined primarily. So it does signify a certain genetic lineage if you have high LP little A. I perceive it like FH, that a high LP little A means you may very well be extremely susceptible to atherosclerosis in a modern environment.
Yes.
And I guess this guy certainly has the case.
And so I've always been confused about high LP little A, but now that there's potential treatment. In fact, he is on the PCSK9 inhibitor. He's on Repatha because it lowers, and it has lowered his LP little A, considerably. And we're waiting to see about this new medication that may be available in a year or so that really knocks the socks out of LP little A.
And that will be fascinating, because if LP little A is an indicator of a genetic disposition, lowering it may not do so much. Or with this new drug that lowers it a lot, the first ever, if there's a dramatic reduction in problems, then it will show the LPA moiety itself to be causal. Yes. That's going to be fascinating.
And of course, we don't know that, but that study, those studies are being done.
Yeah.
And what I always ask when I first heard about this is, look, I have over the years so many high LPA delays in people without coronary disease. I have some that do, and but there are some families, and this is one where, you know, he and his brother, I mean, it's not primarily lifestyle. His brother was particularly in great shape, and without knowing anything, just dropped dead. And he has a lot of plaque, you know, for his age, without another reason. So we are treating him aggressively for his LPA.
Well, given the high calcium score, yet again, we see calcification as the arbiter. If he had no calcium, he wouldn't be treating.
No, absolutely not.
So it's interesting, and for the viewer, every time it's the calcification score that is the arbiter decider of treatment.
Absolutely.
And the other stuff is all trying to find the root cause to give the best kind of treatment.
Yes.
Yes.
And the next, I think, is FH, familial hypercholesterolemia. Yeah. So here we go. And so this is a guy, he happened to be stopped by today, always in great shape. He retired recently. He's 6'4", was a basketball player, and he really put on this belly recently. But here, this goes, this is in 2001. Total cholesterol 398, LDL 332, HDL low, triglycerides a bit high. Now,
that is not just FH, but his total cholesterol to HDL ratio is 10.
Yeah.
I mean, that's FH.
Yes.
And plus ratio is crazy bad, an enormous LDL.
Okay. And he has but large particles. Okay.
Broadly.
Large LDL particles. So, you know, that alone. Now today, since he's had the belly, he was actually just having his craft test today. So we'll know about that. But he had, nobody in his family, I saw him, I think, at age 45, and none of the males had made it past the age of like 50 or 55.
Right.
So we were treating him aggressively. So we gave him everything, including the kitchen sink, cholestyramine and statins and Zetia. And we got his LDL variably 110, maybe 90, never to where we wanted it because he had a high calcium score. This was his calcium score in 2015.
Was
nearly 2000.
Okay, that's a big.
And so he always had a very high calcium score. And again, that was, even though he had large particles, if he had a zero calcium score, you don't think you have to treat him, but he had a high calcium score and a positive family history. So we treated him as aggressively as we could. When it was about a couple of years ago, when he was 62, he's a little bit older now, I believe, he was in New York. I get a call from him. He's having chest pain with exertion. He had never had anything like that. We sent him, we got him capped up there, they opened a lesion. Now, patients we treat aggressively for a long time, our experience is they don't have heart attacks. But here, we definitely slowed his progression by the family history and everything else, but we didn't stop it. Because everything, we never got his LDL near to our goal, which would have been at least less than 70. Yeah. So this was just about the time when the PCSK9 inhibitors and Repatha became available. So we started him on that, and his LDLs now are around 20. 20 from 110. Whoa. So it's about 5 years now, and he's, you know, he continues to do very well, except since he retired, he put on this belly. So this is an FH where my presumption is, while he had large particles, they weren't being cleared, that he was missing LDL receptors from the liver, and so they were becoming oxidized and were an issue. And the flip side is this woman, a very high LDL. She was 283. These were her LDLs, who refused statins. We saw her,
or told,
I think, when she was 60. She came to me because everybody, here's her LDL, you know.
Yeah, around over 200.
200, over 200. Yeah. She was thin, with her A1C 5.8, but without a belly, but a zero calcium score without a family history. And this was a different measure, but she had very large LDL, a good balance of small and large HDL. And so we followed her, and after these 10 years, her calcium score remained zero on no statin therapy.
Right, and even for a woman, in fairness, so long after menopause, a zero at 70 is quite rare.
Yes.
And yet this woman has carried a 200 plus LDL for decades.
Exactly.
Yeah, and there's a lot more of those beginning to come out now as the calcium gets used more and more, and
yes,
the internet is sharing. We're getting a lot of reports back like this.
Yes. And so this is a case where, yeah, again, the calcium score was the arbiter, and I presume her large particles are being cleared, unlike our other guy with large particles that somehow aren't being cleared.
Or I guess cleared versus non-cleared, or environment pro-oxidative versus non-pro-oxidative. Though I know the other guy didn't have a particularly bad insulin and all, but I guess there's these other things in the environment too, in their blood and other immune conditions that might be hard to define.
But whatever if the lipoprotein particle, large or small, remember, the small particles aren't being cleared because they don't fit in the receptors.
Yeah, yeah.
In FH, we don't know in every with a high score, but the original reports from Brown and Goldstein were fewer receptors.
So longer resonance time,
longer
more
resonance
damage,
and more oxidation.
It would be interesting to know, though, are there people who can actually have a longer resonance time, but they have so little inflammatory or oxidative driver in their physiology, in their blood, that they can actually handle it? I guess it's just another
good
degree
question
of freedom. But we can't answer everything here.
We can't answer,
the key point is you can have super high cholesterol, super high LP little a, with no calcium or disease in your 70s. Or you can equally, it can indicate a tendency towards rapid atherosclerosis, and you get it in your 40s.
Yes.
So you need your level of digging and depth per patient to get to safety.
And so the one who was susceptible, you know, we treat him aggressively. We didn't stop progression, but we clearly slowed it until we were able to get a new medication that with the statin has really gotten his LDL super low.
Yeah. And
cleared, the way it works, it does increase receptors, improve receptors. So hopefully it's working.
Yeah. And the way I look at it is, it's not that native undamaged LDL is in any way a problem, but in someone like that with long residence time, serious genetic challenges going on, if you take away a lot of the particles, you're removing one component of the atherosclerotic milieu, and you're slowing it down.
Yeah.
And
well,
you know,
said.
For you, that's the way I kind of view it. Even though we do know there are a lot of people out there in the low carb community who question the LDL hypothesis, so do I. I question it as a native standard LDL is not in any way toxic.
Right.
But modified LDL, other issues with long residence time kind of make LDL be part of the progression, which is a very different thing than I think, Arthur, to be honest, there's a huge unity of voices out there from orthodox sources trying to say that LDL is inherently toxic.
No.
This is really a challenge.
In those studies, you know, going back to begin Bill Castelli in Framingham,
he knew
the distribution of cholesterol, of LDL, in people from Framingham who had heart attacks versus not, it was essentially the same. They overlapped. And look, there are other factors. Certainly it's accelerated if you're diabetic or pre-diabetic. But again, if you start with a fatty liver, the overstuffed VLDL, it's not fitting into receptors. We know there's a longer life in the circulation, and that gives the opportunity for oxidation. And so the extra large particles, the extra small particles don't fit. But then you say, well, what about the normal size particles in FH or in the people with really high HDL? Well, there they have also a longer time in the circulation, but this time it's not because they're shaped abnormally, it's because you have fewer receptors.
Yeah. So there are all ways to make the native healthy particles become a problem.
Yes.
They're all compromised. I think that's the way I like to look at it. LDL can become part of the problem if it becomes compromised.
Yes.
In whatever mechanism, as you say. And that's a good unifying way to look at it, rather than blaming LDL per se, which rankles many people, including myself and yourself, it looks like. Excellent. So these are fascinating case histories. And I think, are there any more of these?
Not right in this, but I have 100 more to show you.
Oh, true, I know.
But I don't think today.
In terms of what we're covering today.
But all these we have, we particularly with the Kraft test, the ones that have been the biggest surprise, we knew and we had examples. The big surprise for me over the past year has been that people with normal glucose tolerance, but with abnormal Kraft tests, that they have a fatty liver, they're producing abnormal VLDL and LDL particles that stay in the circulation and get oxidized, and they cause coronary calcium. That I can show you case after case after just 1 year, and that happened. So, and ultimately, it's we know, because we do coronary calcium. Otherwise, these are young people. We'd have no way of knowing. I showed you one example of somebody who already had a heart attack. He also had the genetic problem on top of the abnormal Kraft test.
Double trouble.
Double trouble. And that's probably why he had a problem so young. But that's, for the general population, what's causing most of our chronic disease is high insulin secretion from insulin resistance, even though your glucose tolerance is normal. So now we can identify those with a Kraft test. And if one of the problems they have is heading for coronary disease, we can do that simply with the calcium score. Remember, the calcium scan, calcium score, it predicts all-cause mortality, not just heart attack. And why does it predict all-cause mortality? That's because the most common cause is pre-diabetes or diabetes, and that's causing other causes of mortality, maybe even cancer, autoimmune, and everything else. We certainly know that when you bring sugar to Asia, to Africa, the third world, you bring all the chronic disease with it. When you bring it to the Eskimos, their cancer goes up, everything. Not just the heart disease, everything together.
And the Aboriginals and all of the peoples around the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we take
them
down.
The Western diet.
And I think the only question now is, what proportion is sugar and refined carb? It's a huge part of it. And then the vegetable fats and the factory oils, of course, is probably a synergistic adder. But either way, the ultra-processed food we've launched in the world, what is it made of? Only overwhelmingly refined carb, sugar, and veg oils, an unholy triad of disease.
And you have good substitute for veg oils. And all I can say is I'm not volunteering for that experiment. And I strongly suggest that my patients, anybody who listens, don't volunteer for it. If somebody wants to do a long, great clinical trial, fine. Until we get that definite evidence, let's not bet our lives.
On our eating lives on. Light machine oil, lubricant for machines.
Yes, exactly. Indeed.
So, Arthur, we got to wrap it up now, I know, but it's been fantastic to visit here. It's been an honor to meet you. I was delighted that, you know, we're trying to get the message out on behalf of Irish Heart Disease Awareness, ihda.ie, and that's all about the calcium scan and awareness of the scan. But to find that the craft information also that you picked up on it and enjoyed so much learning by deploying it here in your practice is it's a huge boon to myself and David. And
I thank you and David so much for that, because it's largely from your podcast that frankly that really convinced me about that, about craft. I had some sense of insulin secretion, but none of this. So thank you.
Not at all. Great stuff, Arthur. Lovely meeting you here.
Great meeting you. Okie doke.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see my subscribe button in the middle of the screen, a free viewing of the Widowmaker movie on the far right, and myself and Dr. Gerber's book, Eat Rich, Live Long, on the left. Otherwise, please do subscribe to the audio podcast. Thanks.